Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the RSL Show. This is Andy Munoz. We'll go around the table. Who's all here? We'll do a roll call. Who wants to go first? Me.
Yeah,
I'm junior volunteered. Producer, Isaac.
Yeah, Joshua.
No last name?
Not today.
Okay.
And Alexis Snapless.
What do you go by, Alex or Alexis?
Yeah, either or.
Do you have a nickname?
No. Call him Lex.
Lex.
No, don't call me that.
Lex.
No, don't call me that.
Too bad. You should have said something.
Nah, dude.
Alex or Alexis. I'll answer to either.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
What about Al?
No.
Yeah, we've got a cool episode for everybody. We're going to talk plenty of Real Salt Lake. First off, we'll start with a few updates. The stadium has changed from Rio Tinto Stadium to America First Field. America First, I guess that kind of goes in conjunction with the America First training field, the America First corner kicks.
Pavilion.
So it's been around for quite a while. What do you think about the deal, Josh?
$100 million, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much money.
Yeah.
That we better see invested into the team. I'm just going to say that. Like, the excuses of us being cheap now, can't be cheap anymore. I'm going to leave it at that. So now we can be way more, critical when we don't pull off DP moves. Right? Because this money goes towards things like upgrading the stadium, upgrading the team. It's money the owners don't want to take out of their pockets to update the stadium, update the team. So I hope we see it spent wisely. But for Real Salt Lake to get the second highest stadium naming rights deal, it's a pretty big deal in my opinion.
Behind who?
LAFC?
The LA teams.
Or LA teams in general?
Mm-hmm. They're tied for first.
Yes.
Some ridiculous things.
Yes. Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's unexpected for a quote-unquote small market team, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes it huge. I think that's what makes it the news, is that we are quote-unquote that small market team, but now we have the second highest stadium deal in the entire league. I think we've just set a new standard for everybody
for everyone else.
Yep.
We just pulled $6 million a year for our stadium name, and Colorado can't get a jersey sponsor.
Exactly.
I'll leave it at that.
Dang.
But also that means whoever comes in as a shirt sponsor, they have to up their deal, right? So I think it sets a new tone for money coming into the club.
Yeah.
Again, I'm already being better about it and hope it gets used wisely.
Yeah, and you'd be curious to see who was on the list of bids for naming rights.
Right.
Mountain
America, Zions.
Yeah.
Imagine all of the banks based in Utah were on that list.
So it's probably, awarded obviously to the highest bidder, but America First does have, obviously, they've been backing the club for...
Since it started.
So the relationship's been there. They've been building it. We've hosted, like I said, plenty of events at the America First training field, which is just, obviously America First probably has no involvement in that. That's probably more so a club Dan Farns thing, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just to kind of have, that access, whatever. America First Pavilion, that's been around for a while. I'm not too hot on it. I've never really spent time there. But
that's a bougie ticket, right? Like, that's the ticket you pay extra for to go eat before the game and, impress a date type thing. It's not really my cup of tea.
Okay. All right. Very cool. So, you're happy with the deal, $100 million?
I'm happy with the money, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Other list of subjects. So, let's talk about Real Salt Lake and talk about the state of Salt Lake. So, Alex, you and we're going to rewind a little bit. We're going to talk actually about the interviews that you had with Don Garber, the commissioner, John Kimball, and Brandon Steinecker.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that right?
You did.
We'll come back to that because I want to hear your experiences with that as a first-timer talking to some people of stature. But let's talk about the game recap. You were sitting in with Pablo Mastroianni at the post media press conference. Pablo is going to catch a lot of flack, and you know, we've for a long time on this podcast, we've been ones to, you know, kind of see the bright side, see the quote unquote good vibes that are that people are being critical of, and also, you know, we've kind of defended, or I wouldn't say defended, but we have that optimistic look, right? So is it now? Is it kind of time to get pissed off, get mad, and look at the results for what they are? My question to you is, did you like Pablo's answer following the loss?
Not really, no. Because, I mean, he gave the same coach's answer that we are used to seeing Pablo give. But I think in a performance, in a game where you're playing the last team in the East, in a game where you're playing the worst defense in the league, you can't really just give the same thing you've given every single press conference. Because in all reality, that result should not have happened. And I'm sure you guys can agree with me that it was bad.
I said we were going to lose, so...
Look, I'm happy for the point at home, don't get me wrong, but with the way the table is shaping up, we're looking rough.
It's just another draw at home that should have been 3 points that's going to hurt us in going down the stretch, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And to get a generic, you know, the ball doesn't always go your way answer, like, absolutely not. Like, that's okay here and there. We dominated the statistics. We didn't create quality chances. Did Ochoa have some great saves? Yes. Did Ochoa make a meal out of some saves to make them look better than they were? Yes. But at the end of the day, we didn't test him enough to beat him, right? He's your former goalkeeper. You know his strengths. You know how to beat him. But it felt like down the stretch, all we were doing, playing the ball out wide, crossing it in, hoping for something to happen.
And
just
I feel
like we always go to. That is our go-to, and no wonder we don't score, right? Demir is not there to head that ball in. At the end of the day, we have to adjust, and we don't adjust.
And that's kind of where I was going with that, too. Like, Savarino was clearly frustrated. He was not getting the ball enough. Cordoba was completely shut out of that game.
Yeah.
I don't think Cordoba really had many opportunities to do anything.
Well, no one directly passed him.
That's because we just completely lack the creativity in up front. Yes, we had some good opportunities to score. But regardless, like, we did not create enough to even, like, test a Cho in some major situation.
If you go look at the pass maps for Cordova, I think he received 3 passes.
Yeah.
Directly.
It's just complete lack of creativity, and I want Pablo to address that, not just be like, oh, yeah, we played well. Like, I don't think we played that well, considering it's the last team in the last team.
You should have worked that team 6-0.
Right.
Should have. They played a 15-year-old at left center back.
Right. And I'm all for Team Pablo. Absolutely. I think... I'm all for Team Pablo, but it would be nice to sometimes get more critical, more answers, better answers out of him.
Right, and I understand he's probably trying to protect players. He's probably trying to protect morale. But that's not going to fly all the time, right? Especially when this consistently happens at home against subpar opponents.
Right.
It just gets old. And, I mean, I'm at the point where I don't think we deserve to make the playoffs. I really don't.
So that's kind of like the, you know, what we're seeing online right now is this team isn't making the playoffs, at least with the results that we've had, if they continue on. So do you think this team has what it takes to get a push or make a push and land a playoff spot?
I mean, just like I said last week, this team is capable of winning the cup. They really are. They are good when they want to be. But again, something's not clicking. We're missing that real talent, you know, creatively, goal-scoring-wise. That's another issue I had. How Luna did not see minutes in this game completely blows my mind. We needed someone creative in there to help out Savarino. Push Sava back out wide. I know he doesn't love some connections there, but push him back out wide. Get 2 creative playmakers, good on the ball, in that game. So you're switching up from driving down the right or left and crossing it into nobody, right? Switch up your style. Bring in Luna. Right? Definitely make some different substitutions and get after the game. I don't understand why we're stuck in this same first 2 subs every time. There was no reason Julio should have been in that game. The game did not bode well. Like, it wasn't set up for Julio. They weren't pressing. There was no room for him to get in behind. Right? Like, It's just like he has this routine, just like Freddie did. It was the same couple subs every time, and you knew exactly what was going to happen. And it's very frustrating.
And I think in a game where, you know, the other team lines up with three center backs, it's very hard for a player like Julio to find his stride and find his space, because you got the three guys, and it's really it's a little bit easier when you got the two people up front, but it still makes it a lot harder because they're closing down that space,
and right, and they're
it's
not
the situation. Yeah, it's not they're the situation not for Julio, in my opinion. But to kind of comment on what you just said too, Mascherini did comment on Luna not making entering this one, and he's basically said that with Musaski coming in, he chose Musaski rather than Luna because Ojeda was already in and Reese were already in, who were pressing up really, really high, so he didn't want to basically have a midfield with three number 10s.
Why not?
And I think we should have.
You know what I mean? Like, why not?
Like, it doesn't make any sense to me, considering we needed the result at home. Like, it would have been fine to bring him on, but...
You switch out Julio with Luna? What's the difference?
Right.
You'll let Sava play higher if you need to. Right?
Right. And I think it's time for Sava to go back to his natural position.
I agree. I think the experiment in the middle there is...
Teams have really learned how to shut down Savarino out of games. He's been completely super frustrated in the last couple games that we've played.
Yeah.
That he hasn't had room to operate because teams have figured it out. And they
sit on top of him.
Yeah, they figured out how to slow down Sava. And without Sava, I don't think Cordova can really do much either.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I'm ready for the World Cup, man.
Yeah, we'll break down the stats. So, and I'm curious if this kind of changes your guys' narrative. So,
no, because the stats were absolutely dominant.
Yeah, they were dominant.
And that's almost worse.
Well, if you're dominating, but then you've got, like, Ochoa standing on his head. I mean, one of the best games that we've seen from Ochoa.
Honestly, no. The first half was very shaky, right? Coming out very unpredictably. Slipping a few times. He really only made two really, really, really good saves.
The Pablo Ruiz for kick was one.
Right, yeah. And then one was kind of a goal line clearance. But the other saves, he did the Ochoa thing where he made the save and made the save with flair. They were very easy saves, meaning we were not testing him enough and forcing a good save out of him, right? He's just really good at making it look fun. So him standing on his head, it's fine. He did have a great game. But we did not do enough to punish him and win this game. We easily could have.
Gotcha. You know, we're going to talk about Ojeda, Oviedo, Musovski, what we saw. But right now, I think there's some visible frustration. And if it's not directly from the player that I'm going to mention, I think it's also just on the field.
Let me take a guess. Aaron Herrera.
Yes.
Ooh, I'm good.
I mean, it's
pretty obvious.
It's right? Obvious, right? Yeah. Like, there's something... I think I texted you guys during the match. Either he's in his own head. I don't think that, you know, he's a competitor. He's not going to be checked out. But, you know, when you're so frustrated and you maybe think that... I don't know. You're so frustrated, you want to give up, but almost having, like, that... attitude of, I don't know, there's got to be like some adjustment, whether it's I think it's like a mental shift, because I'm seeing somebody get so frustrated that it's affecting them to the core.
Yep.
I mean, this is a player who over many seasons we've seen developed and I mean, how long
been one of the best players.
How long ago was it that we were giving Herrera praise almost every single match?
Last season.
And so something has happened. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like the USMNT snuff and, you know, maybe going to play with Rubio Rubin in Guatemala. Like,
it could
stuff
be,
on the horizon.
That's another sub that made no sense. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
but no, I think...
I'm seeing it. I'm just curious if anybody else sees it.
Absolutely. I mean, we don't know if it's something going on in his personal life, if there's a teammate he's not agreeing with. But it's very obvious he's not having a great time. Right? And he's even getting a little defensive in interviews.
Yeah, and I was just about to bring that up. There was that interview not too long ago that I think it was a Zoom interview or whatever, where a lot of people were criticizing him for his demeanor and the things he was saying. And I mean, yeah, it's even in the interviews, you can tell that he's frustrated. He's not playing the same way he's been playing last year. The numbers this year compared to his numbers last year are like a complete drop off. And I don't know if it's maybe that. Maybe it's just that he's not getting the same production that he was last year.
There's uncharacteristic red cards. There's uncharacteristic penalties being given away. Right?
Well, even so like the late penalty that kind of bought time for DC United to go on and win the match.
To kill the match off, yes.
Kill the match off.
Yeah.
Again, it felt like a DC win to me.
Even
point. 1 point at home is like, I don't care if it's a draw. It's
to the worst team. Now, if that would have been LAFC, if we would have drawn LAFC at home, I'm considering that a win.
Yeah. Right?
No, absolutely.
Exactly.
But when you draw a team that's subpar.
Yeah, so there's 93 minutes left. It's like 92-30. And, I mean, I don't know. He wraps around him, brings him down, whatever. Yeah. It's
hard.
It's a time waster.
It sucks.
You see the frustration, and so you're just kind of curious as to what is causing it. And I don't know, man. I hope he figures it out, because I think we collectively, I like to think that we like Herrera.
Yeah, he's too good of a player to be playing the way he's playing and be frustrated the way he's frustrated.
Yeah, so I don't know what it is, man. I hope he kind of figures it out soon.
Should we talk about the two new guys that got some minutes at home?
Oh, absolutely. I think we should.
Cool. All right. Isaac, give us some like theme music, little beatbox real quick. Do-do-do, boop-boop-boop. It's awesome.
Love it.
Do-do, boop-boop-boop.
I like it. That's pretty good, dude. Yeah. How are you, dude? How are you?
Tired.
Is that new clothes?
Yeah.
Did you use your H&M discount?
No.
I like those pants, dude.
Thank you.
Is new shirt?
Yeah.
Different man, dude. Look at this guy. Dude,
sometimes an outfit change is all you need in life.
Honestly, bro. I gave him some shoes the other night. Which, the Donovans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donovans.
I got a pair of Donovans. You want them?
No.
Dude, did you have the same problem that everybody else had?
They kill my feet.
You buy the size that you are.
Yeah, I cannot wear them for more than an hour before my feet are like...
Right.
Yeah.
So Isaac is like a half size lower than I am. And so I think that's the key, is you got to get them like a half size up.
Interesting. I can't wear them.
Dude, I love them. They're cool, right? They're sick.
Yeah. They're dope shoes. I literally cannot wear them. It sucks.
Yeah. So anyways, all right. Back to Real Salt Lake. Go ahead, Isaac. No.
Oh, I don't even do boop boop boop. Right? Yeah. Is that how I did it? Is that
how I did it? Asking how you're doing, my guy.
Yeah.
He's asking how you're doing.
Oh, I'm doing good. Tired, very tired. But
are you tired of Real Salt Lake?
A little bit, yeah.
What are you more tired of? Are you tired of Real Salt Lake or people on Twitter?
God.
Twitter. I could use a social media break.
Oh, yeah. Just tweet some stuff out and you might get a permanent break. All right, let's talk about Ojeda and Oviedo. Is
no
that
Oviedo.
Who you guys are talking about?
No Oviedo.
I want to talk about Musasi first.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Because Musasi came on, they played the through ball for him on the wing. Ball goes out of bounds and he blasts it. We're down 0-0. It's like what, 80 something?
It was later than, it was almost the 90th. That was the one. So that irritated me.
That just set the tone for me, and I was just like, wow.
But I do see a lot of upside to him.
Oh, yeah. The little turn on Andy Nahar.
Dude.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. He looked dangerous. His decision-making to kick that ball away, which cost us a good 45 seconds.
Right.
Not great.
Yeah.
But a lot of potential there. I hope this is going to sound weird. I hope he plays well enough to get an extension on his deal, but I hope he doesn't play so well that he has to get a ridiculous extension. You know what I'm saying?
True. Yep.
I don't want to have to overpay to keep him here and then have him underperform, but I want him to stay around for a while.
Rubio Rubin.
Have another quarter.
Right. Period. Rubio Rubin is making way too much money for what he's doing right now.
And I love Rubio.
I do too, but
it's
like...
It's almost like, come on, dude.
Like, part of me is like, I kind of wish he would have been sold to Liga MX.
Right.
Because that was another sub in the game that I was questioning, like, big time.
All right. Sorry, Alex. Go ahead, dude. We've been cutting you off. Josh does that. He's been doing it for 10 years.
Oh, no. I was just agreeing that he shouldn't have kicked the ball out. But
all right, cool. Thanks for the insight, dude. Awesome stuff.
I will agree, though. I don't like Rubin on the wing.
Okay.
I don't think he produced... I mean, yes, he has the energy to play the wing, sure, but I just don't think that's his best position. I don't think that's the best place to suit Rubio.
Right. You put Rubin and Sava up top in that game, right, and you bring Luna in, mm-hmm, right, with Masovski. I don't understand. It's like, I think Pablo is one of these guys. I think we've talked about this before, where he has his guys, and his guys just get the time, right? It's hard for people to break into his guys' rotation.
And I mean, we've kind of seen that all year.
We have.
We've talked about it before.
We have.
Like you said.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I believe his principles are kind of like hard work.
Right.
Not necessarily over talent, because, I mean, obviously you sign a super talented striker, you're not going to, you know, you're obviously not going to.
You're going to cut him a little bit of slack.
Yeah, but yeah. I think one of his core principles is hard work.
Right, which is fine to an extent, but when guys are clearly exhausted or not having, like, Miram wasn't having the greatest night.
Oh, dude, yeah. Justin Miram and Chang both looked exhausted.
They were dead, and we're still not getting that change. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I really wanted Miram to put one away on the show, too.
Absolutely.
But,
dude, did you see the ball that fell to Marcelo Silva's feet in the box?
That was the opportunity
I was just praying. I was like, please, like, because I'm sure they're still cool and all that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Let's just do it real quick.
Okay. And then we'll get to...
The game ends. Ochoa says what's up to the South goal. It's all amicable. It's respect.
A lot of people clapped. Like, there were a smattering of boos within the game, but that was his gamesmanship. He was doing it intentionally, you know. Like,
afterwards,
it wasn't bad. Yeah.
Afterwards, it was cool.
Whistle blew. People clapped. There's still some boos, but most people were fine.
Okay, so...
I agree.
Broadcast perspective and obviously the perspective of, you know, being there are two different things. You saw a few players run over, embrace.
I saw the
Ochoa.
Entire team minus Miram.
Minus Miram.
Miram,
like, slapped him on the TV broadcast.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
He kind of went up to him and just gave him, like, a...
little head slap?
Like a cheek slap. But it wasn't hard. It was, like, a friendly...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was,
okay,
like...
I see what you mean.
And then everybody was like, oh, kinda, you know, maybe he did.
I see what you mean,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, to say... Listen, I've seen people on Twitter now kind of going, you know, more so at Tom Hackett. Because of Tom Hackett's comments and the articles
with Pablo
and all the other stuff with, you know, kind of the rumors or like the, they're not even rumors. It was literally written in the ESPN article that, you know, players were having scuffles and then Tom kind of added to that by saying that, there were players on the team who went to Pablo and went to Kimball to talk about specifically about Ochoa. Now, because the players embrace after the match doesn't mean that drama didn't exist.
Right.
But it does show that you're getting past it. So for the people that are on Twitter...
Slaughtering everyone.
Well, trying to use it and be like, ooh, what drama? Like, dude, grow up.
Right. You can still be an adult and say hello to your former teammate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Miram, like what I see, if Miram would have been like standing there for 20 minutes and they would have been hugging and crying, yeah, maybe there's an issue, right? But no. Most of them... dapped him up, walked away.
Yeah.
What did they want him to do? Like, everyone just fight. Actively avoid Ochoa?
Yeah, they want him to fight.
I mean, that would have been great, but we knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, it's just
because they're adults.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They're adults, professionals, still working in the same league. I mean, dude, you've seen it. You've seen embraces from, I mean, I don't know.
There's so many sports beefs that they'll embrace after the game, say hi to each other, and walk away.
Exactly. I mean, for Pete's sake, dude, we had who was the dude from Kansas City on the RSL?
Benny Fellhaber.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, granted, that's different. It was probably like 5-7 years after he was done playing.
No, I still hate him.
Yeah, but hey, it's a warm embrace, and
right.
You know what I mean? So
I respect his ability at the game, right? Yeah. I expect his craft. Yeah. Respect, not expect. Yeah. You know?
It's just kind of annoying just to see.
I'm sorry your dude doesn't play for RSL anymore, bro.
Yeah. Honestly.
He didn't get booted because he was Mexican.
No.
There we go. Honestly, though.
Yeah. That's such
I am so sick of that take, dude.
That's such a dumb take.
It's I'm true. So I sick agree. Of that take. Stupid. Speaking to my three Hispanic friends in the room, do you guys feel that that's what happened?
No.
Nope.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
You guys are half white, though. Look at you.
No, we're full.
No, I don't believe it.
Are you full Mexican?
You guys aren't allowed to have that opinion because you agreed with me and I'm white.
Okay. All right. True.
So... You're wrong.
Yeah. All
right. That's how Twitter feels right now.
Yeah.
I can't do it. Anyway, carry on.
But, it's honestly, it's like 9 people, dude.
I know.
Okay.
But usually the... Yeah. Anyway.
Let's put it to a positive. Brian Ojeda.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Brian Ojeda.
Bruh.
Brian Ojeda.
Bro.
Look. He's
not... Oh, my gosh, dude.
He's not Cuellar.
His outfits? Sheesh.
I didn't see his outfits.
I
he's got good fits.
No, okay. I don't care about that.
He's not queer, but boy's got potential.
He could be queer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I know. He's fantastic. I love just what we've seen from him in like the first two games. He's a fantastic guy.
Expecting him to get a red card against DC already. He's like a mix of Everton and Jasper.
Yeah.
Like there's a little bit of style of both of them in there.
Yep.
Dude was going in hard for every challenge. Super calm and collect on the ball, right? Like anytime he had possession.
Very smart on the ball.
Very, he slowed the game down to where he needed to, right? He was quick if he needed to be. He slowed the game down if he needed to. Hard tackler, bro. Like Everton, Beckerman-esque almost. Like,
yes.
Got into it.
True football professionals.
Yeah.
As Pablo says it.
Yeah.
He's impressed with those two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He should be impressed with all three.
I say give it a couple months, dude, and I easily, I think Brian O'Hay, that will be a fan favorite.
I hope
purely because we talked to him yesterday on the Spanish on Nell show. Super energetic, super chill dude. Like fantastic interview. It was like easily one of the best interviews I've done with him. Super fun guy. He was like cracking up jokes. Like he was a little nervous at first, but the second like we started joking with him, like he was like cracking up jokes, just going back and forth with us. Super chill guy. Super awesome guy. And we told him, we were like, hey dude, like you're like really anxious, you're like really excited to be out there, and he's like, yeah, I love it here. I really love it here. And he said he wants, his goal is to just make the fans love him. And I love that answer.
Honestly, and like for him, all he has to do is, I mean, this is like super generic, but like show that heart and that like super tough style of play, and he'll be a fan favorite.
Absolutely.
Real quick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's why people loved Everton.
And Kyle.
Everton's never like said a word, I don't think.
You know what the best part about him, like Ojeda, is though? It means we probably never have to see Nick Beasley play again.
That's a good point.
Dude, that's crazy that you mentioned Nick Beasley, and I'm like, who?
Do you know he has been on this squad for 6 years?
Really? Is that Monarchs time included or just RSL time?
It's both.
Both.
Okay. But when he was with the Monarchs, he was on loan.
Right, right.
Yeah.
He's good
for him, though. He's going to be a journeyman player. And if there's not a spot,
but that's not a journeyman, dude. That's
no. But I'm saying if he's not here,
oh, he'll get
with Real Salt Lake. He's going to get picked up elsewhere.
I don't know.
Well, he said we asked him. We asked because obviously he's on loan. We have the option to purchase.
He's talking about Beasler.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Ojeda.
No, I was talking about Beasler.
Okay.
No, but I think if Beasler is,
I was talking about Beasler just kind of having like that journeymanship. Like
I think if he's released by RSL after this year, which I strongly hope,
you don't see him going to another MLS team.
I don't think he has that quality anymore. He's 27, 28 now?
No, I think he was 30.
He might be 30, dude. Yeah. If he's not breaking into the Jasper, Caldwell, Ruiz lineup, what MLS team is picking him up? He is not even good enough for the San Diego Loyal, in my opinion.
Hot take.
I've always seen him as a USL talent.
Yeah, Nick Beasley's a fine player.
Just a call-up because the space was available.
Yeah.
I think he was brought in at a time when we were only bringing in that type of guy, and I think our roster has moved past a Nick Beasley player. It's nothing personal against Nick Beasley, right?
No, he's a great guy.
We had to watch him play center back, and that was painful. But as a as a holding midfielder closing down the game guy, he's decent. But we've moved past that, and I want us to stay move past that.
Okay, so we've you know, two whole different players, and we'll get to Ojeda here in just a moment, but I always seem to kind of couple Beasley and Brody together just because of their come up where they were before.
Yep.
Obviously, completely different play styles.
Oh, yeah.
So you just broke down Beasley. What about Brody?
Dude, Brody is so confusing, right? He's this little wiry. You would not expect him to be any kind of athletic guy who just has this insane drive and has really honed in his game, right? That guy has to work 10 times harder than everyone else on that team to be where he's at.
You sound like Pablo.
He really does, though.
Yeah.
That guy busts his ass to get in that starting 11. There's no, like, easy road for Andrew Brody.
And he takes it, dude. He took it to, like, five defenders on LAFC. So,
all the props to him, right? Yeah. I like Brody.
I love Brody.
Yeah.
I love Brody.
Is he what is he on Twitter? AT Brody or something like that?
I think so.
Or
Instagram? He has a Twitter?
I think he's got Instagram.
Oh, okay.
He definitely has Instagram. He reposts your stuff all the time.
Some shout outs, real quick. I want to shout out Chris Garcia. He was over with El Paso,
mm-hmm.
Locomotive. I DM'd him and I said, hey, dude, how's it going? He's like, hey, I'm getting minutes. I'm happy. And I think at the end of the day, that's just...
That's all players want, man.
Minutes. But it's so important, right?
Well, and that's what I worry about with Luna. He goes from playing consistently, being the star of El Paso, to now garbage time minutes with RSL, a team that claims to strive to play their youth, right? I really need to see us play the youth and not squander guys like Diego Luna. You know what I mean? Like,
Diego, for sure. There's a valid argument for him there. Alex, Isaac, sorry, dude. I know you're kind of quiet over there. How you doing?
It's okay.
You doing good?
Yeah.
I love your mullet.
Thank you.
Nice job. Alex, let's kind of go back to the stadium unveil. First off, let's just talk about the magnitude of the news. Do we feel like it was overhyped for what it was?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that the deal was a very large amount of money, but like, bruh.
From a financial standpoint, from a club standpoint, it's huge news. It's major news. It's like the second biggest deal in the entire league. Valid there.
So,
but when you go and you market it to the fans,
inflate it
to the
like
fans.
Like, there's this huge, giant, fun change happening. Like,
yeah. And then,
well, what were
the
words used? The word there was
major club, major community development, or something like that.
Like major club announcement to shape the
future,
like the future of
Real which
like,
right. It will,
which it does.
Yes, it does.
So, let's just have a real moment here. I know that we want more. Right, we want
sure.
We want South Goal announcements. We want to hear that all of Rio Tinto is going to be enclosed, and there's going
to
be like
the riot.
You know,
you
heated.
Have to say the riot now because that's what it is. It's the riot. It's not Rio Tinto. Just call it the riot. It's
oh, America. Did I just say Rio Tinto?
It's America First. Yeah,
my bad.
But we're gonna. I'm calling it the riot forever.
It's true.
That's what it forever. Is to me. So
that's fine. Okay. Yeah. Dang, did I even realize that I called it Rio Tinto?
It's gonna take time.
Yeah. So. You want to hear that they're going to enclose it, that they're going to put, I don't know.
Safe standing, new sound system,
like
two giant video boards.
Heated parking lot to melt the snow off, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You want all those things.
TVs in the bathroom.
TVs in the bathroom?
You've been asking for that forever, by the way.
Dude, I'll be happy with a paved parking lot in Canyons.
Hang on a sec. I'm going to ask, Isaac, I'm going to give you a job. What's up? From your personal Twitter account, from now until... it happens. I want you to tweet every single day, and I want you to count. Put day one since I've asked Ryan.
So,
like at Ryan Qualtrics
listen,
for TVs in the bathroom.
He blocks everyone just for annoying him. AY, our good friend AY, and that was not. I've just seen a lot of people get blocked by Ryan for tweeting at him about signing people, like in the past. And like with Jazz stuff too. But anyway,
we're not signing people. We're asking for TVs.
No, I know. I'm just saying, it seems like he has a short fuse on the blockage.
Okay, this is so stupid.
But
dude.
So, AY.
Wait, wait, stop. We know people at the club, dude. Let's just.
Yeah, we'll just.
How hard is it to budget a little bit of money to throw TVs in the.
So, our good friend AY.
Okay.
Used to run into Deloy Hansen.
Aaron Yorkshire.
On the regular. And his thing would always say, Mr. Hansen, I really want a TV in the bathroom. Every time he saw him. And every time he would go, oh, that's a great idea. We should do it. I'll talk to my guys. At least 10 times.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
Dead serious.
This was
pre-scandal?
Yes. Yeah. Obviously.
All right, Isaac, you don't have to do that. It's fine. But I think
It would be nice to be able to pee and not miss a goal.
We need to do a few things. We need a petition to get a TV in the restroom. We need like a signed petition, 15,000, 20,000 signatures.
We need to pick it outside the bathrooms during games.
The only reason I can think why they wouldn't do it is because it gets, you know, moist on the TV screen.
No,
because
there's TVs in almost every stadium I've ever been in.
No?
There's TVs.
That's not true. They don't have them at Vivint Arena.
There's TVs on the fourth floor bathroom.
Like, I wouldn't want to clean it, you know?
Oh, the media one?
Yeah. There are.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Right where you dry your hands.
Yep.
Alex is going to the bathroom with the door stall open so he can see. Just watch minutes. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Tell you later.
Hang on. Let me pause. One sec. Let me pause. I want to hear this. All right, so you know, it's hard. It's hard to avoid moments like what you just described, dude, because they serve you like,
oh, dude,
like old chicken burgers and like the 5-day-old salads.
The
like,
food this game,
you're
too
gonna was, annihilate the toilet.
The
stall.
Food this game was by far the worst they'd serve too.
Yeah,
it was this very dry, very salty roast beef.
That was rough.
It was a little rough.
It's a good attempt.
No, I definitely appreciate the food and stuff.
Just cater Chick-fil-A. It's not hard.
Canceled.
I mean, with our new deal, they probably could.
What are you talking about? Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A is canceled, bro.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
Are they?
Yeah.
I look at Isaac.
He just knows.
he gave me this disappointed look like... Yeah.
Well,
I should know these things.
It still tastes good.
You still go?
I still go.
Yeah, I go to Chick-fil-A. You don't go?
No.
What do they get? Okay, never. Let's not get into it. All right. Do you go to Chick-fil-A?
No, I don't go to Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
It's not very good.
All right. I'm a Raising Cane's kind of guy. Even though opinion. I've never been.
I don't like Raising Cane's either.
Alex goes to El Pollo Loco. Dude.
Yeah, there you go.
See? Yeah. All right, what were we talking about? The media. Oh, TVs.
TVs, yeah. In the bathroom.
Yeah.
All the stuff we're going to petition for.
Let's go back. Yeah, we need a petition. Okay, Pablo Mascherini. RSL doesn't make the playoffs. Eliminated. Are you giving Pablo another season?
Yeah, but the focus is going to be more on like Elliot and company for me.
Shifting to the FO, huh?
Yeah, because I still don't think we have all the pieces we need to really contend.
I agree.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. I don't think it should be on... I think no matter what happens, the outcome of this season, Pablo should be given... Because he's pretty much inheriting a roster that was built by Mike Pecky.
Now, hang on, though. You go back, you rewind to the beginning of the season.
Sure.
One of the best starts.
Yeah.
So why did RSL have one of the best starts, and then as soon as we got the signings, now it's fizzling and crashing?
Well,
which, by the way, Andy Munoz called us, go back and listen.
The signings just barely started playing.
That's true.
Yeah.
Demir's been out all year. I don't want to hear about that excuse, right? The same core group minus Tate Schmidt has played all year.
Yep.
Teams figured it out.
Yep.
Their ceiling was only so high, right? They had a hot start, but that ceiling can only take them so far. And now we're seeing us hitting that ceiling. We've seen us hit that ceiling. And the three new guys can only elevate us so much, right? None of those three are natural goal scorers. Mufsovsky, maybe. But we're still lacking in the 9, the 10 role, right? Sava's playing out of position, which is an RSL trait. So... yeah, we still need more creativity, right? We could use another solid center back. We could even probably... I know McMath's had a good year, but we could use an upgraded goalkeeper, someone that can distribute the ball, because Ochoa was showing off his distribution Saturday night, right?
Yep.
You know, we could pair Ojeda with another very strong midfielder, someone even better than Ruiz, right? Like, there's still a lot of room this team could improve. Cordova's had a great run of matches, but there's no one behind Cordova to play in that position that's in any kind of form, that will be in any kind of form. So this team is still light in a lot of departments.
Yeah. I think if we don't make playoffs and we're going to be critical of anybody, it needs to be the FO. It shouldn't be. I don't think it's on Pablo just quite yet.
No. I really don't either.
Wow.
Okay. And I'm excited to kind of go through the list of the roster and like discuss who needs to stay and who needs to go.
Yep.
I think the needs to go or needs to be moved on or needs to be loaned or sold is pretty big.
Yeah, we're definitely doing that at the end of the season.
There's some experiments that need to end.
Very cool. Isaac?
Huh? Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's mentioned about getting like the keys to the bus or warming it up. Like, I don't think it's on Pablo at all.
His substitutions the last 5 matches, I'm questioning.
Right.
Right, and that's where my main frustration is. We really need to see better adjustments to the matches and what the match is giving you, and that's where I'm going to lose Pablo. If we don't see any change in how he adjusts to what the other team's doing. And continues to rely on the, it just wasn't our day excuse, then I'm going to get irritated.
Got it.
I'm getting there, but it's not quite all his fault yet.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is going to be a hot take. I think one of the first players outside of Nick Buesler that needs the experiment end, Buesler and Rubio, I think we all kind of agree, is Bobby Wood.
I agree. And which really sucks because he started the season off really, really well. Not necessarily scoring the goals, but just what he did off the ball, what he did to control the tempo, to control the press. We just don't see that with him not out on the field. But regardless, at the end of the day, goals matter.
Right, and you look at his history, you know, he was moved from questionable back to out for the next game.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just really hard to have your offense continuously hurt. Right? Like, that's been the story of his career, and it's been the story of him here. If we can't rely on him to be healthy all season, then there's no point.
Yeah.
And it sucks, because I really like Bobby Wood, and I want him to succeed, but I want the club to succeed more. So, anyway, let's get to some Twitter questions.
Yeah, we'll talk about Twitter questions, RSL show. Let's go ahead and pull this up. While we're pulling this up, because I said that I would give you some time to talk about it. Alex, how was your experience talking to John Kimball and Don Garber? And what was like the one thing that you kind of took away from each of those conversations? Doesn't have to be both, but if you have like one thing that you took away from those combos.
I think from Kimball, definitely a lot of optimism. He definitely seems like the type of guy who can make a lot of things happen. Obviously, we've seen him already change the culture a little bit within Real Salt Lake compared to what it was. Mm-hmm. But his answer definitely gave me a lot of optimism, because we know when we asked him about the details of the deal, he didn't give us specific numbers or anything. We didn't find that out until later. But he definitely talked about how that's going to be money that's going to go directly into stadium upgrades, directly into expansion, directly into better players, better team, better connections in the front office, just stuff like that. And he said ultimately his goal is MLS Cup. Ultimately, he wants to bring MLS Cup to Utah, which I loved it. I love that answer. You know, as a fan, it's exactly what you want to hear. And I hope that obviously with this deal, it works out. As far as the Garber situation,
the Don Garber,
it was surreal, dude. I never thought that I would like shake Don Garber's hand and like introduce myself to him, but here we were. Shout out Paul Nelson at RSL, dude, for making that happen. Don's awesome.
Good dude, right?
Good guy. Yeah, he seems like a great guy. Pretty first chill. Time ever talking to him. I don't know if you have the same impression, but
I was dying at his assistant holding his little jacket and stuff, dude. That was
He had an assistant.
That was too good.
He had an assistant that was just carrying around his jacket the entire time, and it was awesome.
It's a good gig.
I mean, easy gig, right?
I would love that job.
Yeah.
And as far as his comments go, like his comments were just directly like kind of what we were talking about earlier with setting the standard for the league. I asked him what this deal meant for Real Salt Lake, but he said, I'm not looking at it just for Real Salt Lake, I'm looking at it for the entire league. This is a huge development for Major League Soccer and the future of what Major League Soccer will be. And I think that, like I said, I think it's just setting the tone for future deals, for more better sponsorships for this league, and I think it'll help American soccer grow, American football grow.
Yeah.
You know, going back to where we were talking about if the announcement was overhyped, I think a big thing to look at is if you're just a common fan, right, that doesn't really get into it that much, right? You just go to the games, cheer, whatever. You don't necessarily pick up on the meanings of some of these things, like how big of a big deal this is, right? So I think in that aspect, as just like a normal fan, not really listening to podcasts or whatever, you can see how it's very underwhelming.
Sure.
Right? Because they're going, okay, well, what does that mean for my game day experience? None of that was really talked about. So that is where I can see it being very underwhelming. Anyway, sorry to interject that. I thought about it earlier, and then I didn't get to say it. So
yeah. Well, cool stuff, man. It's you did a good job. I wasn't expecting to see interviews, so when you guys sent those over, I was like, awesome.
Honestly, nice. I don't even think we were expecting to talk to anybody.
No, it's great, man.
Like
yeah.
Like I said, shout out Paul.
Yeah.
Awesome guy.
Yeah, honestly, I think you guys did like a killer job, honestly.
Thanks,
man. I was really like surprised. I was like, this is like top tier interview stuff.
And how often do you see like this quote unquote fan podcast talking to Don Garber?
Not often.
Yeah. Not often, man. There you go. It's, yeah. Got a lot of things to say about that, but I won't. Like I said, we try to put out good stuff. I feel like we do. All right. Let's go ahead and cover Twitter questions.
We put out good stuff.
Hope everybody's having a nice drive to work right now or wherever you listen to this podcast. All right. Brandon Wild asks, or actually it's more of a statement, the game was great. I was thrilled to see Ochoa back on our pitch. On the other hand, I'm super white and ignorant, but even I couldn't help but cringe when they unveiled that name. The vibes are not good.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, literally adding Credit Union to that field name changes this whole thing.
AFCU field actually would sound cool.
Right. I hate the name. I really do. But I also am like, there's nothing we can do about it. It's cringy. I'm not going to get upset and cancel my season tickets and fandom over it. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Or tweet at the club that they're Nazis and then wonder why you got blocked.
Okay, yeah. Let's slightly touch on this.
Go ahead.
Slightly.
Go ahead.
There's one thing to like tweet your displeasure. It's another thing to like go after a club and it's just a person at the other end that has nothing to do with it. Dropping all sorts of swear words and calling them Nazis, you're really surprised you're getting blocked. Calm down.
Yeah.
Voice your displeasure. Do it in a professional, not even professional, just like, hey, I think this is a bad idea, right?
Right.
Not go, F you, you effing Nazi. I can't believe you. I'm no longer a fan. But like, it's just, have some tact, man.
It's a weird thing to see. All right. Let's see. Matthew Daniel says, announcement hype was overblown. Did they think about the name beforehand? The game was disappointing. DC bullied Sava from doing anything. The team would pull the brakes one on the counter too often. They wouldn't combine and play quick until the three went up for stoppage.
Correct.
It seemed that Ojeda, Julio, Brody, and Ruiz were the only ones trying to win the game.
I mean, for the most part, yes. For the most part, he is correct on his takes. It's a disappointing result no matter which way you look at it. It's a point. Yes, it's a point at home, and I'll always take a point, but it's at home, and it's against the worst team in the league.
I would rather lose that game.
It's a horrible result any way you look at it. The line is now literally 3 points with a game in hand below us, mind you. A game in hand.
Yeah, we don't have the game in hand.
We don't have. Yeah, they have the game in hand. And it's the 3 points that we needed. We just didn't play well enough. Sava was completely shut out of that game. Without Sava, Cordova can't really do much up top. He doesn't get balls. And the counterattacks, I think, was just a fatigue. Like I said, Justin Miriam just wasn't there that night.
Yeah.
Yes, he did some good dribbles and whatnot. But by the 20th minute, he was huffing and puffing.
Yeah. Let's take a look at some other questions here. So let's take a look. Real Salt Lake makes me cry. Says, yeah. It was a horrible night for the club, and the crowd was low energy. The only redeeming factors is $100 million, and we silently waved some white DC United towels on corner kicks.
The little towel wave was pretty dope. Cool because it was natural.
I thought it was dope, yeah.
Right? It was natural. Some of that American football culture crossed over. Mm-hmm. I wish people would realize they could do that with their scarves.
Yeah.
And just do the same thing.
True.
Yep.
Yeah. Guitar Guy says, name change was so overblown, it's embarrassing. I believe the promise was that the announcement would change the direction of the club, in quotes.
It will.
Or something. And he also says, we're pretty good on defense, pretty bad on offense. If we make the playoffs, big if, we'll get hammered in the first round.
Oh, for sure.
I'll give him that, yes. I'll give him that because there was that little bit of time where the defensive mistakes were a very common thing, which is really weird saying it because
there's
a lot of poor clearances. Yeah, because we started off the season really, really well. But I think over the course of the last couple of games, they've really kind of tightened up more defensively. And we're kind of seeing a little bit more of that Silva-Glad partnership that we saw at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But the clearances in the beginning of that game were
Yeah, defensively, it started very shaky, but they did kind of grow into that game.
And there were two very bad back passes to McMath that we are very lucky to get punished on.
Yeah. Laney Lambert says, I like the new stadium name. That's
one
bold of you.
That's one. First.
So she says, I like the new stadium name, but it will always be the Riot. Secondly, I'm not too happy with the draw last night. We're just waiting for Domi to be back and from rehab for back surgery. That's not going to happen. Not this season, I don't think.
Not only that, but like when Domi comes back, he's missed an entire year. He's a year older. There's a chance we don't get the same Domi. We cannot rely on that as our safe grace, right? Like, we have to be prepared for the fact that Domi might not be the same Domi.
Well, and then are we all in consensus that Domi does not come back this year?
Oh, yeah, there's no way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, no.
What, 4 weeks left in the season?
Why even season? Risk it? Yeah. At this point, why even risk it?
Right.
Yeah. And she taped that off with, we should have had a goal early in the game, but Ochoa is way too good to beat last night. Carl Jensen says, pushing the ball wide every chance we had and continue to send in cross after cross to a gigantic back line was so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, they're all of their center backs were over 6 foot.
Yeah.
Right. I don't even, is Cordova even 6 foot? Maybe, barely.
And not only that, but I mean, DC came into this game knowing that we're going to cross the ball.
That's what I mean. We've become predictable.
Yeah, they knew what we were going to do. They knew we were going to attack the wings. They knew we were going to cross it in and hope Cordova got ahead to it. But at the same time, like, if you look at most crosses, you only have Cordova and maybe Sava, maybe somebody else in the mix, but you only have two guys in there versus the three center backs.
And they're
not even including everybody else. I'm just talking about the three center backs. Like, it's very hard to even find a ball in the air when you got three center backs covering two guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just makes it easy.
I'm not disagreeing.
Just makes it easy. Just makes it predictable.
Yep. Let's see. I'm not going to skip tweets. So we're going to read these. Joseph Bay says, I know America First is a local credit union, but it's an unfortunate name given today's political climate.
Agreed. That should be America First Credit Union filled.
Yeah.
It's a simple fix.
Unfortunate name. Agreed. Hunter Squid says, call it how it is, mate. Ryan Qualtrics and co. accepted a deal to name the stadium after a racist slogan for a bag right after a racist owner was just ousted. Club handled criticism by blocking longtime supporters, even ones who have worked on creating content to promote the club. This is what I'll say, Hunter. Those people who were tweeting did so in a fashion that was just, it was pretty disgusting to see. People, whether they were fans, I don't really care about fans going off, blasting off, but if you represent yourself as quote unquote media, and I'll kind of add ourselves into that bucket. If you're in the realm of covering RSL, you have access to talking to coaches, going to trainings, engaging with the players, access to the front office. If you go online and voice your displeasure in a way where it's profanity driven, you're unhinged, you're just going crazy, it's just not a good look for media. And the people who, you're right, like there were people who had created content, whether it's current or in the past, to act that way, they got what they deserved.
And I'll be the devil's advocate. I didn't see everyone's tweets that got blocked, right? So I don't know all of the story. There could have been some that were unjust. But when you're getting bombarded, I don't know who was running Twitter that night, but they might have just been done, right?
Sure.
So
I mean, it's an unfortunate thing, but we'll just see what happens.
It comes down to this whole: no one's willing to have the conversation without screaming at each other anymore, right? That's kind of what it seems like every Twitter beef is about. No one's willing to talk it out. No one's willing to hear a different side of it. And the club's guilty of that as well.
Yeah.
They weren't wanting to hear people saying that that's not a great idea.
Yeah.
There's a problem on both sides. I'm not defending the club at all.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you're going to go at someone, you got to go at them with some tact.
If there was anybody on the RSL show that was this heated over like the stadium being called America First Field, voice your displeasure. But the minute that, like, and I'll include myself in this too, the minute you go unhinged and you're calling people KKK, Nazi, the club is white supremacy, if you're just doing it in a way that just doesn't hold substance, and, right. And you're representing the RSL show, I don't even care about the whole KSL sports thing. I would literally be like, sorry, dude, you're not on the podcast anymore. I don't know if I have that authority, right. But I'd be you're done. At least
getting a talking to, right?
You're getting a talking to, man. And that's not the way to do it.
I want to hear a legit conversation from the club, from America First, and from a couple fans that don't necessarily agree with the name. I would love it if they change it to America First Credit Union Field and solve a lot of this problem, right? If I'm America First, maybe I'm taking a deep, hard look at my name and logo right now and going, maybe this does look bad, right? But to go straight off calling RSL a team of KKK guys, like, come on. That's unbelievable. That's such a stretch. Like, that's...
It is.
It's...
Considering, you know, maybe people don't see it. Staff over there, of course the players, it's diverse. Chalk it up to what you want. Maybe you see the same four, and I hate saying this, the four white faces on TV or whatever, but I promise you there's diversity at the club.
I hate that we're even talking about it.
Same.
On it, and it would be different if Deloy Hansen was the owner. It really would be.
Yeah. Well, because Deloy would be like, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man.
But Ryan Smith, he's publicly spoken in favor of the BLM movement. He's publicly spoken in favor of equality, right? Like, he obviously is not a member of the KKK. And, let's be honest, Rio Tinto, probably worse than America First Credit Union. They're literally destroying the earth, right? And taking over communities in other countries. I want to have an opinion, and this is the other hard part. I want to have an opinion, but there's half of the fandom that'll hate me for it, and the other half will love me.
Yeah.
Right? It's like it's a lose-lose for everybody.
Well, it was interesting. Brandon Steinekert, the dude who literally wrote the anthem for the riot, came out and said, and I don't want to misquote it, so I'm actually going to go back and find the tweet.
And listen, none of us have to call it America First Field. It's always the riot to me.
Right.
Right? Just because they paid $100 million doesn't mean we have to mention them ever again as fans. I get that it shows on TV America First Field or whatever, but like, as fans, we can do whatever we can to never call it that. We can all band together and call it the riot.
Yeah, so Brandon Steinekert, back to his tweet, he wrote, yikes. Can't let the hateful and intolerant actions of some with zero affiliation to what this is ruin what could be a positive thing. So many stand up to make this a safe space for all. Inclusion, equality, and passion for our club, community, and beautiful game. Gotta rise above hate.
Well said.
I see nothing wrong with that statement.
No, that's perfect. And that's what I'm feeling. So people voicing their displeasure about the name of the field, it's fine. I think there's a proper way to do it.
Yeah.
There's a proper way to do it. There's a right way to do it. Especially if you represent yourself as the media. And I will say this, that a lot of people who are tweeting and touting and tweeting their displeasure and they're so upset about this have a whole different opinion when you talk to them about it in person. All right, guys, let's go ahead and talk about a preview. Austin FC.
It's a loss.
Okay. What do you think? Austin, second place.
Got a little bit of a slide, but it's away in a great stadium. I really want to go there next year if we can. Drewsy probably isn't playing, like Alex said, but yep. I still think we get the smackdown put on us.
He's questionable. Yeah, Drewsy's questionable heading into this one. They've only won one game in five. They're not in the best form right now. They just lost 3-0 to Nashville and then lost 3-0 to Seattle. So they're on back-to-back 3-0 losses. But just with what I've seen from Real Salt Lake, it's going to be a tough one. Yeah. It'll be a tough one. Plus, it's Texas. We don't do well in Texas.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like they spanked LAFC a few matches ago. So
right.
And that was like a strong LAFC too. It wasn't like a fluke team or anything.
I think they're both at full strength.
Yeah. So that'll be an interesting match. And so we play Austin FC. you guys don't think we're getting any points, not even one?
Nope.
All right.
We can't beat DC United. Why do you make me think we're going to beat Austin FC?
It's RSL, dude. It's so unpredictable.
That's a good point.
Enthusiastic I am about that. Yeah, I mean, we'll just kind of leave it at that. I think it's fun to kind of leave the result up in the air and kind of see where it goes. So that's basically the preview for Austin FC. It's not much of a preview. However, we will have a preview going into the match against is it FC Cincinnati?
Cincy.
Alex has been invited onto the, I think it's, what is it, Cincy Talk?
I think so. Let me double check on that.
Yeah. Cincy Talk FC or something like that. They reached out to us. They wanted someone who can talk about a preview. So as soon as they unleash their episode, we'll link their podcast to our website, to our socials. Excuse me.
Cincy Soccer Talk.
Cincy Soccer Talk. Alex is going to go on there. This is his first time collaborating with a podcast. So go on there. And
I'm glad we have him to do it now.
Share your opinions, man. Make us proud.
I'll make RSL look good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, it's just been an exhausting week, especially if you're living in the RSL online Twitter dome or whatever.
Yeah, Twitter Wait, sphere.
Real quick. I have one last question before we wrap this up. Did you guys see that stat about how we are the team with the fewest wins since June?
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that?
It's been a real bad summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just.
Well, and then considering the opponents we had.
Oh, they should have been a cakewalk, mostly.
Yeah, it's been weird to see. Mainly because our outlook has been positive. But I think that's why, you know, we as the, you know, some of the optimistic fans, but also, for the most part, optimistic podcast, that's why I kind of wanted to reevaluate and ask those, like, real questions, like, you know, Pablo, do we keep him after this season? If we don't make the playoffs, it's all results based, and you guys expressing your opinions. The FO is kind of in a hot mix, hot water. So we'll see what's to come of that. And
I would add ownership to that too, right? I want to see the money available for the FO to go make the team better. To be fair,
it'd be interesting to see. You know, it's one of those things where. It's just like with anything in life. There's a lot of positives happening, but then there's one maybe lurking big negative factor, and so that's all you look at. It'd be interesting or unique to see a list of the changes that have been implemented since. I mean, you look at it like, did we get signings? Yeah. Did we get talks about stadium upgrades? Yes. Did we get new ownership and relationships with, you know, whatever, SK Brevin? Is that what it is? Brevin, SK?
Yeah.
SK Brevin? Yeah. Okay. We're building these relationships. We're getting more looks, I think. And there's obviously like a lot of, you know, back and forth between that. But now, $100 million deal for naming rights. So.
There's obviously positives in there somewhere.
There is. I mean, there is.
For someone to be willing to spend that kind of money.
There is.
There's a positive somewhere.
Now, it's like you look at the Jazz, right? The Jazz kind of get a pass because they're in rebuild phase or whatever.
But does Ryan Smith do the same thing to Real Salt Lake?
Well, I mean, sure. But this is different because we're still in that like playoff contention, sure. Playoff hopes. So if you kind of compare it to that with all the changes and everything that's happened, maybe this is a huge positive. And maybe good things are happening. And maybe we're just pissed off because we haven't won a game in a while, right?
It's very possible.
So, organization standpoint, big things have happened. You just got to pull the results, and then everyone's, you know, full circle, and we're praising everybody, right?
Yeah, it's just been a really, really rough summer.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been rough, huh?
It's been rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to get gray hairs, and we're going to start balding more than we already are.
In a league where coaches, GMs, players preach home field dominance. They preach that you have to win at home, and then you can scrap by with a couple points away from home, and you got a pretty good shot at making the playoffs. Since June started, Ross Lake's only won 3 games at home, and tied 4, and lost 2.
Yep.
I think I'm upset. People are upset. Because right now the results just aren't there.
Yeah. But you're happy with other things.
I'm happy with the trajectory. I think we're heading in a very good direction. Obviously, the deal gives us hope, gives us optimism, gives us that, I don't know, I guess light at the end of the tunnel. I don't know what you guys want to call it, but I mean, like what John Kimble said, it's money that's going to go directly to putting a better product out on the field. And I think that's just something to hopefully look forward to.
Yeah, yeah, as long as it happens.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So back to the narrative, Josh, you and I, we've been here long enough with RSL that, you know, usually it's we're going optimistic into the next season and we're always like, oh, next season, next season, next season. Well, this is probably the first season where we're going to be going into this thing with more money, more connections to move players around.
They didn't and like I said, I want to see something come of it.
Yeah.
They didn't build Rome overnight. And I think a lot of fans expect that.
Yeah. So I get the frustration. And listen, I get the frustration over the stadium and all that naming. I get it. So cool. All right, guys. RSL show is brought to you weekly by KSL Sports. Go on to kslsports.com. Check out the RSL section. Tom Hackett writes a lot of articles on there. He's got a unique relationship with the club, but he's a great reporter. He spends time with them, gets enough information from them to share things pretty quickly. So after you've read that, go on to the podcast section, listen to the RSL show, and go to the podcast review section. Leave us some amazing reviews. All right, take it easy.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading Doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.